Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Bent Light Podcast. Recording number 67, swirling clockwise. I am Roy Wolfman, and I am joined by Dr. Chaotic. And
hello.
There's Dr. Chaotic. And Spice Tiefling.
Hi.
And we are in our fourth. The fourth installment of Senritsu Kakifal Kawasugi. The Truth. Hanako-sama in the Toilet. And yep, it's what it says on the tin.
But it's so much more than that,
it's
isn't it?
It's much more, yes.
This was like our Trojan horse.
No. Yeah. I'm seeing these,
yeah.
Ladies, gentlemen. By the way, thank you, Asian Horror, for providing the movies. Look for Asian @ Asian Horror on YouTube, and search out the Shiracord, the unofficial fan Discord of Koji Shiraishi, who provided the material, other materials involved in this series of films.
Also, please come join us on Twitch for our watch-alongs of these wonderful adventures at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time every Friday at
RoyalB78.
Yeah. We'd love to see you there.
We'd love to see you, yes.
Yeah.
So you
can hang out with the gang.
See your reaction to this bad shit fuck of an episode. When I saw these two go nuts over it, I'm like, yes, yes, it's working, it's working. I've got them in my
general
grasp.
General tip off is when Roy says, oh, just wait.
Mm-hmm.
And he does this little giggle that just kind of makes you a little bit nervous.
I'm pretty sure we could sum this up with, like, a one or two sentence cover.
You want a one or two sentence summary of this?
Yeah, one or two sentence summary of this, yes.
All right. Plot summary as fast as I can do it?
Yes.
Girl goes to sacrifice her best friend to a comedy.
Kami,
which is Hanako of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was kind of a comedy at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Weird timey-wimey alternate dimension space things, thanks to Hanako. And premonitions of a friend's death spur her to hire our troop of paranormal investigators. We have a really, 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 really nice lady come along to help Les, and she's kind of, I guess, a medium?
She's a medium. Played by her, Hitomi Kurihara, for all you Power Rangers, like, what's the term for that? The kids' TV series with Ranger-like characters?
Oh, Super Sentai?
Sentai. To all you Sentai fans, Hitomi...
Check it out.
Hitomi played a major character in Kamen Rider Ryuki. There's one in the main characters, I believe. She's in all 43 episodes of that series. So, we got some star power in this one.
So, she decides to help.
Mm-hmm.
And there is some weird kill your doppelganger moments. Nobody takes my advice. We have a harken back to earlier episodes and late in the episode. And we almost had a happy ending where everyone gets out alive. But a surprise twist in the last second where Kudo gets to avoid paying a bill again. in the most weird what the fuck moment way that just had Doc losing his shit.
Yes.
He lost Which, I mean, makes this episode mind. Priceless. Because when you make a deal with a commie, the bill always comes due. Mm-hmm. A life for something big. And unfortunately, our wonderful medium paid the price by getting beamed in the head by a teleported desk out of nowhere that just splattered her across the sidewalk. And we see the goo from episode 2 and the fucking flowers appear.
The ectoplasm, yes.
In her hand. So that's kind of the short of it, long and short of it, as far as I can do it in a quick little summary.
You really can't do a big, thick summary on this thing because it's pretty much it would jump forward in the time, then backward in the time, then forward in time. Oh,
and Hanako shoots out of the toilet, always third stall in the girls' bathroom.
Yes.
Of an abandoned building. Yes. And Hanako has, I would say, it looks like it should be mist or water, but it looks like tentacles. Mm-hmm. So there's that. There's a weird scene where they're kind of floating through time and space in the other world. And Kudo's little legs start kicking in the most hysterical way. People are trying to grab onto each other. It is just an absolute mindfuck of a moment that just makes you crack up.
Yes.
And Kudo with the fanny pack with the hair thing in it.
Well, we didn't know if it, but you knew.
Probably. I was like, we gotta get rid of that thing. Just maybe it's him at this point. Because he's the only common denominator, along with the crew.
Yes.
That they may be cursed at this point.
Maybe.
I don't know, but I mean, that's my sneaking suspicion. Mm-hmm. But this was a weird one, but this was a good one. It went very quick. Again, we have people withholding information. We have two genuinely likable characters that do seem to be best friends, but I mean, would you sacrifice your best friend for riches? I don't think I would.
You don't know everybody, though. So.
And then her friend just forgives her by like giving those like light little slap across the face, and everything is good. And Doc's like, "We're gonna get a happy ending." I'm like, "No, we got a couple more minutes for this to get fucked up."
No, I wasn't saying they were gonna get a happy ending. I was just waiting. I was waiting for the punchline. That was what and I was waiting for. I was waiting for the punchline.
What I didn't notice until a second rewatch of this was how our poor medium's right in the middle. Friends are off to the side. Camera crew is off to the other side. She is dead smacking it. She's like a bullseye. Just bam. I don't know where that fucking desk, man.
Yeah, it's just... Yeah, if you watch the Twitch stream, I was dead after that desk thing happened.
He needed a I was good laughing. 5 minutes. It was good.
He needed a good 5 minutes after that.
I knew we were getting lulled into a false sense of security once they said, "Oh, we're so happy ending." I'm like, No. I've watched way too many movies with Roy and Doc to know better than that.
Shiori's like, you know somebody's going to have to pay for this, right?
I did say that, yeah.
And Shiori said it. And Jun just interpreted it as the bill.
The bill always comes due. Mm-hmm.
And then splat. Right in front of him.
I mean, I wasn't expecting it, but I'm kind of glad it happened I miss this character. I really was hoping she was going to carry over. But oh, those fucking flowers, to quote Kudo. Mm-hmm.
Those fucking flowers.
Fucking flowers.
But no.
So yeah, I definitely get the feeling there is more tying into all of this. It's just that, man, it was. I couldn't focus on that after the fucking deaths to the head. I couldn't focus.
Yeah. We lost him.
We did, yeah.
We did.
By the way, amazing effects in this episode.
Yes. Some of them were a little funny. Mm-hmm. I can't remember the time code, but it's close to the end. As they're swirling and Hanako is just kind of there. Because, you know, Hanako is what was a water kami. Mm-hmm. And Hanako's dress are the red and white flowers that used to be left as an offering to that. But, I mean, once we had indoor plume, I guess that's what they became kami of.
Yeah.
So by you knocking on the third bathroom stall, if you're disrespectful or, you know, that, you've upset a kami, so curse could happen. But apparently you can make a deal. They ask for something, but expect a steep cost that cannot be, you know, avoided. Which we're kind of finding this out the longer we go into the series.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. You're finding out. There's a steep cost to this business. Indeed. I think one of the...
Yeah, I did definitely.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I think one of the best shots in this one was when they handed the second piece of video to Kudo and crew, where I believe Nana was recording some just usual business in the mirror. Then she turns around and she finds herself in another place when she turns the camera around.
Yes.
And she finds Eri hung on the doorknob. Then she turns back to
see. And Eri's in the bathroom.
And Eri's in
the bathroom. And this is Eri's house.
Yeah. No. It's Nana's house. Nana's.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, when she turns, she's in Eri's house. All of a sudden. She shot through the mirror in order to show that she's at her house. But when she turns it around to the other side so you can look at the door better, it turns into Eri's house.
And the implication is Hanako's not happy for not having the offering fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
Because Eri didn't die when Eri was supposed to.
Yes.
So, you know, with weird timey-wimey shenanigans and alternate worlds and planes and, you know, you're really not supposed to interact with, I guess, your other self. They kind of find out, Nana's been hiding some shit where she made this and then she decides, I'm going to offer up my best friend to get this this wish of riches. But for some reason, it didn't happen. That's what originally leads this story off. So we're learning, again, unreliable people will hide different things for their own reason, which I think that's true in an investigation again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nana and Eri are absolutely likable. I mean, Nana a little less so in hindsight, but I mean, they seem like they're good friends and I guess it's water under the bridge. But man, Kudo never seems to pay the medians.
No.
Or the shamans.
Or the shamans.
Because they never really seem to survive their encounters with him. Or not well.
No, it's something that just doesn't happen. And then we go into what's called a school, but was identified by me from the Shira Court. Thank you, Shira Court. Abandoned hotel.
Do we want to explain the abandoned hotel thing? What it is historically in Japan?
Yeah.
That phenomenon. Why we have so many abandoned buildings?
During the economic miracle, everybody was building up. You name it, you want it, name it. It's built. Schools, hotels, hospitals. Anything. And then once the bubble popped and they were in recession, a lot of things had to be shut down and abandoned. Well, not abandoned. I mean, there's someone who looks over the land once in a while. Make sure nobody's, like, living in the place. But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, just not kept up, abandoned. So you've got a lot of empty buildings with a lot of echoes in the metaphorical sense in there. Would not be surprised if you run into a ghost or two there. But a lot of the kids these days like to go urban spelunking in these buildings. And that's where all, like, a lot of your ghost stories are coming from these days. And that's the story of abandoned buildings. Also, if you want to see some amazing abandoned buildings looked at in, like, dead of night, I highly recommend looking for the channel Zozozo. They're a ghost hunter group in Japan. Who Double as a production company has been making these great found footage shorts called False Documentary Q. Check out False Documentary Q on YouTube as well.
There was also, of course, Checking Out Abroad in Japan, who has done some great work along some of the more like rural and abandoned parts of Japan, specifically with his recent thing of Journey Across the Den. He scored the entirety of northern Japan, where there was a lot of exposure of things like abandoned buildings and stuff like that, including one where they explored an abandoned water park up in northern Japan.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, because like you said, when the bubble burst, a lot of stuff left. They also have he explores Fukushima Battleship Island. I forgot the Japanese name for it. It's not Fukushima. It's another one.
No, it's
where are you?
Yeah, go ahead.
It's where they filmed. I'm thinking of the James Bond place. They filmed that old community. It used to be an industrial town.
Yeah, there was that one, and then there was the one where they filmed the live action Attack on Titan.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, what we're saying, there's a lot of precedents when it comes to Japan and abandoned buildings.
Even if we say ghosts in a physical sense, there's also ghosts of a metaphorical sense in the representation of these abandoned buildings. Yeah. These abandoned buildings are a ghost of a past. So, what was your favorite part of...
Probably should call it, because at the end of the...
I know, I mean...
at the end...
This thing is just batshit wild. You go in, and everybody's, like, time-traveling forwards and backwards into time, trying to, like, get the hell out of this building and realize they're in the wrong place at the wrong time. Then when they do get to a reasonable sense of time, they try to save Eerie and find out that her fate's still sealed, even when you stop it.
You know, yeah. Which then involves them dealing the best way to think they can do it is to run into the void that is Hanako and turn into fucking PNGs. I was having a fucking Sega CD microcosm flashback when that scene came out.
You know what it reminded me of?
What?
Monty Python.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It was the animations.
Yeah, the animation style. I just think of the ending of Holy Grail was like, we wanted to animate this starter, but the animator had a heart attack.
Yeah. Yeah, it just gets batshit insane. After that, we realized that Nene did something really bad after we realized we can't save Eerie. And they have to, like, almost literally beat it out of her.
Yeah,
that was... I felt bad because I was looking at Shikawa and was like, no, you're turning into Kaido!
Kaido? Kudo.
Kudo.
Yeah. Well, in this frame of reference, you would too, in a ways.
I guess so. It's one of those things where it's like, what the whoa.
Well, lives and time, lives are on the line, and there is a ticking clock, which we didn't know, apparently.
Yeah.
And three days or something?
Yeah, 3 days from when they originally visited. But you needed to know all the information. There was people holding back information. You're going to get hard nose about it. You know, there's no niceties. You need that information.
Yeah.
And if you need to get near violent with people, then so be it. Because you're trying to save somebody's life and you need all the deets.
Yeah.
And then we get like... Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Then... You... Then...
No,
what was I going to say? I lost my train of thought! No!
So did I, that's the problem.
I thought that the checking of the time and the date was a good touch.
It was definitely... It makes the most amount of sense considering we randomly go into a fucking time travel story, which, I'll be honest, it's one of those things where it's like, it was kind of what happened with the second episode again. It's like, well, you went from a ghost story to what the fuck in about 2 seconds.
Right.
I mean, you're kind of along for the ride, though. It made it interesting. This app flew.
Yeah.
It was just nonstop.
Good twists.
Twist after twist after twist.
Yeah.
What the twist? And then you get a satisfying ending.
Oh, God. Like, people were probably wondering, I was like, why did you laugh so hard at that? And I was like, it's because every time that happens, I mostly blame it on the Wicker Man remake, where the scene where Nicolas Cage has PTSD every time he thinks about the little girl getting hit by the truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It comes so far out of nowhere, you can't help but be laughing because you're not entirely sure what just happened.
I mean, in fairness, we've had those moments throughout the entire series of it comes out of nowhere, it just happens.
Mm-hmm.
But not to this like very precise degree.
Right.
Yeah, it's just like, that was some precision fucking yeeting, like throwing up dust right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it just beamed her. And their brain is splattered across the concrete, and you're just like, oh my gosh, what just happened? I mean, we were all laughing. I mean, there's nothing else you can do. You're just like, it's so absurd that, but I mean, it makes sense in the context of the show. Yeah. And I mean, you had your guest star on for the episode, so.
Mm-hmm.
And they did a nice little tribute at the end to the character.
Yes.
So.
Who's
she's.
Was more powerful, Mr. Hobo or Shiori's death? Or Suzuki's
death? Shiori's death.
Well,
I would say Yeah, Sherry's death was more powerful because she was just a genuinely nice person. And we do have a Kudo trying to get her to explain what she sees when she looks into the other side. Mm-hmm. And she's like, I can't really explain it. She's holding her prayer beads in hand and, you know, she's trying to do her best to help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think maybe that was the hint that she saw her own death.
Possibly.
Because it definitely seemed like she probably knew more about it than everyone else. It was just trying to make sure that they had the happy ending, even if she didn't.
Yeah, a willing sacrifice, mm-hmm. I would say. And she seemed like she was just warm and affable and just a good-natured person who's trying her best to help this unfortunate situation.
Yeah, because the main difference is that with the hobo, it was just him being... It was just him trying to be creepy, him just being creepy, and then all of a sudden, bam. Like, this builds you up with this, like, you know, people are happy, stuff's going on, it's like, all is forgiven, we're all gonna be fine, and then all of a sudden, desk.
Yeah. Yes.
Desk out of nowhere, just boom.
Yeah, like, is this promoted as a horror comedy? Because I feel like it should be.
No, it's primarily as a horror.
But yeah. I mean, it has comedic moments because, I mean, you're dealing with people. That people and, like, supernatural beings and the other world. So, I mean, comedy will occasionally happen. Mm-hmm. I don't think he meant it to be funny, but we found it funny just because we got sucker punched with it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we're in agreement this is a solid episode.
Oh my god, mm-hmm. Yes. This is like an essential do not miss it episode. Because again, we are seeing more character development. We are more invested in our characters. Mm-hmm. He didn't pull out the fucking talisman this one, so... But destroy the fanny pack. Toss it into the fires of Mount Doom. But, Kudo, where's the fanny pack? Yeah. Please note.
Kudo, where's the
fanny pack? No, they both do. That's the thing. Kudo mm-hmm. both put Kudo and Ishikawa wear rock right. fanny packs. It says mm-hmm. Ishikawa rocks it on her back.
Which, I mean, makes more sense, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, 4 episodes in, how are you feeling right now?
I really wanted to continue last night. You will hear that if you watch our recording. Because I'm like, do we have time to watch more? Because I'm kind of digging it now. I'm in the groove. I don't know if Doc could have survived another episode.
It was getting kind of late, and I just kind
of by the time we finish, it's almost midnight. But I mean, these just seem like they flew by, and of course, when you're watching with friends, I mean, you're just having a good time all around, and.
And
our drinking game keeps coming up.
And I do try to supplement it with other goodies between episodes, just to keep everyone going.
Yeah.
Advertisements, music, that sort of deal. I'm glad everyone wants more because...
How many episodes are there?
There is technically 10. Translated 9.
Okay.
So we are almost halfway through.
All right.
We're getting knee deep now. You're gonna love these next two. Guys, got anything to promote?
No.
Nope.
Nothing in terms of, like, Hanako-san? Or something of a time-bending
nature? I mean, you could, but the problem is that I don't think of a Hanako or time-bending when I'm thinking back on this episode. All I think of is just head to desk. Chaos ensues.
I mean, it is the last thing we go out on, so I mean... Everybody mm-hmm. kind of looks distraught at it, for rightfully so. Mm-hmm. This one was a weird one, but it was a lot of fun.
Right.
I mean, again, I'm a big proponent of kill your doppelganger, because why not take the risk? But I thought it was interesting in how we were weaving cause and effect of, you know, stealing Eri from the present time and take her into the future, which is, you know, in order to save her. Mm-hmm. So again, this is something that does reward you for paying attention.
It does.
But maybe just don't go into abandoned buildings or abandoned places. Seems to be a really good running theme here. Don't make bargains with commies. Don't sacrifice your friends. Because, I mean, they seem very, very close. I mean, I couldn't imagine sacrificing one of my friends.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
No. Don't sacrifice your friends for money. Or power.
Or beauty. Or eternal life. Because, I mean, monkey paw logic.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of a dick move.
Yeah. And then nobody wanted to be a friend.
Yeah.
And survival skill.
Yes. That would suck too.
Yeah.
Alright. With that being said, you can check us here at Red Light Podcast. Your home viewers is our horror. Over on the Wolf's Den Productions company's site on Podbean. You got some love mail, some hate mail, some Hanukkah mail, some time mail, some timey-wimey stuff mail, some doppelganger mail, some Japanese table mail, some abandoned building mail. Send it to starlightpodcast@protonmail.com. We also have a Twitter. You'll find us over at capital R, capital L, capital P, capital S, Starlight. Yes, give us some recommendations, some commendations. Just say hi. We'd love to hear from you. Also, if you're feeling like you want to hear some more reviews or look at some lists, go check out criticlist.com. I write list and reviews for the site. Go check them out. We'd love to hear from you. Also, as we said before, every 9 p.m. Eastern at night on Twitch at RoyalB78, we will stream the next two episodes along with some extra goodies. So be there, be square, be afraid.
Feel free to sing along.
Yeah, feel free to sing along. And that being said, have a good night, have a good evening, and enjoy yourselves. But don't visit the toilet. Just saying.
I mean, they're eventually going to have to visit the toilet.
Nah, I was wondering why somebody was in there moaning about toilet paper.
Red toilet paper or blue toilet paper? I didn't know they came in those colors.
I didn't either.
No, I got the Charmin.
Also, did we always have three stalls?
It came with
the building. I cleaned that up.
It came with the building.
I don't want to go into the third stall.
And again, whatever you do, I'm not cleaning that up.
Nope.